countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Welcome back to Countrywide. Now, Fiona Murphy is an Irish-American. Her parents hail from County Mayo, but she now lives in Chicago. Every time she used to come home from America with her late father, he would stop at P. Moore's Pub in Swinford, County Mayo. Hail, rain or shine, morning, noon or night, he wouldn't pass P. Moore's Pub without calling in. Last week, she posted a photo of this pub on Twitter, and the mystery of her father's connection with this pub was revealed. It was a story that will resonate with so many families who've had young people immigrate, leaving home, dependent on kindness for survival. And even though it's an ungodly hour in Chicago, Fiona joins me live to tell the story. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Marty. How are you doing
I'm very well indeed. And thank you indeed for staying up to join us this morning on Countrywide. Before we talk about the pub, Fiona, tell me about your own connections to Ireland.
Well, it's been a home away from home for me throughout my childhood. My parents would send me back for summers. And as an only child here, I would go over to Tubber Curry to our cousins who had eight kids, the six eldest were boys in the GAA. So I had part of the year being an only child, and then I became the youngest of nine for a few months in the summer. So it really served to give me survival training for life in many ways.
We have a lot in common, actually, you being an only child as well and coming home on holidays. Obviously, those days with the cousins were special.
They were very special. I think it wasn't something, like many things, that I truly appreciated at the time. I loved it, but I didn't know the value it would have to me until I was older and a parent myself, and especially losing my father. That became the link to a family that I never knew how much I always needed.
Now, your father never passed P. Moore's Pub in Swinford, County Mayo, without dropping in. Did you know why he called in there?
Well, I think I was like many young people. I knew at the time it was somewhere in that big old brain of mine somewhere floating around, but you don't know when your parents are telling you these stories and you're a teenager, or even your young 20s, you're very focused on yourself and you always think there will be more time to circle back and hear it again or ask about it. And so it was in there, but like many things, when I lost him 23 years ago, you know, your brain is this magnificent beast and it takes things that are painful to you, that are too much to process at the time, and it kind of tucks them away into a closet in your mind, shuts the door, and it says, I'll get to that later when I'm able to handle it, so that right now I can stay off my knees. And I just kind of kept on going like that, and it was tossed into that closet behind that door until this last trip when I finally was able to bring myself to walk in and ask about it.
And tell me the story of your dad. What did you discover?
Well, he was like many in his generation. He didn't talk too much about himself and loved to hear the stories of other people. That was a very central part of my father, the importance of stories. He used to quote Arabian Nights, that stories are the communal currency of humanity. So he would love to sit and listen to everybody else's. And what I learned when I went into P. Moore's, and the young man behind the bar was a bit too young to have remembered my father. And I walked across the street to Campbell's in Swinford. And all it took was the proprietor of Campbell's saying, well, you know, maybe he knew Patty from when Patty was on a job site in England. And it was that instant. It was as if I had kicked open a door in my head and it all came out. My father, and it was my father almost literally, it felt like, next to me, telling me the story again. I could hear it in his voice. When he was 14, he had to leave Charlestown for his first of several immigrations to go to England to work on a construction. 14. And it's really hard to comprehend, I think, for any of us. When I think about Aisling Murphy and what her family is going through, I can feel the pain, and I can imagine it, but I've never buried a child. There is, so I look as a respectful observer on how can we honor these kinds of traumas that, that people have gone through. And he left at 14, and when he left, he had just been coming out of polio. So he was coughing up blood, he could barely stand, but his mother, he was an only child himself, his mother depended on the paycheck. And Patty Moore had been his higher up, his boss there on the site, and used to hide him whenever the top bosses would come around. He would say, you know, oh, John Murphy just went off on an errand for me. He'll be back soon. So that really my father could continue receiving that paycheck. This child, you know, that's what I have to remember. I picture my father's face, but this was a child I never knew, this version of my father. He saved this child's life because this child would have kept trying to do the job to send that paycheck home, and he really would have worked himself into a grave over there. And instead, the kindness of this man, the decency of this man, saved my father's life. And, you know, I look at my own three children now who are young adults, and we are all here because of the kindness of this man.
And Kieran, son of the man who helped out your dad all that long time ago, he got in touch, didn't he?
The moment that he posted on Twitter, and first of all, you know, I have to say, in my mind, I'm still a child in Charlestown, standing outside Tony Collins's shop as one of my parents places a phone call to the overseas operator, and then we wait half an hour until a line becomes free to the United States to call. I can't believe we're having these conversations on Twitter. It is magnificent. But when Kieran Moore posted that he saw this and it brought him to tears because of his how proud he was of his father, that was it. I think I cried the type of tears that like a teenage girl cries where you can't catch your breath. I was so profoundly impacted by the connection, and selfishly, honestly, it was almost this primal feeling of, oh my God, I'm really not alone. I'm over here in Chicago. My father's gone, but I'm not alone. He's still here. We all have one another's stories. And that's been a very affecting few weeks for me. It's really brought up a lot of the importance of the small towns in Ireland. Of there are people in Charlestown and Swinford who have my stories, and I have theirs, and we carry them around in one another's pockets. And it is the one of the greatest assets of Ireland is the small towns. That's really, really it.
And I can feel your love and your passion, and it's the beauty of Ireland, I suppose, that family when we embrace each other. I'd just like to quote from your social media post, which obviously went viral. "This, my friends, is but one of the incalculable values that small towns offer us in 2022. They hold our past for us until we are ready to carry it forward ourselves." That's you've explained it. And I understand it, but just give me an insight into why you posted that. Why did you feel it necessary?
I think for me, it is, and I have felt this even as a child, I just didn't know how to describe it. Every time I went back to Ireland, and the fact that, listen, there were 11 million tourists that went to Ireland in 2019, so I'm far from alone in feeling what it's like to experience the small towns of Ireland. But I have long felt that Ireland doesn't see her own worth. I wish she did. There is nowhere like a small town in Ireland. And I think there is almost a post-colonial trauma where the people of Ireland have gone through so much that they're grateful for, you know, whatever they do have, instead of being able to stand up and claim their full worth. And I look at, you know, all of there are over 1,000 multinational companies that look at Ireland and see the value as, you know, one of the number one places to invest in, because they know that they can bring people from all over the world and settle them in Ireland, and these people will immediately feel like home.
And you know, Fiona, on these dark winter days, can I say to you that you've shone a light, because sometimes we need somebody from outside looking in, although you're one of us, to remind us of the importance of community in towns, and you've done that. And we thank you. And thank you indeed for talking to us on Countrywide this morning. And good morning to all the cousins in Mayo and indeed in Chicago. And if you want to read Fiona's thread, she's on Twitter at Jen X Banshee, a story of survival and kindness. Thank you so much, Fiona.